Well, aloha, brethren. Wonderful to be with you all. It's definitely a nice sight to see so many gathered of God's people. It's definitely worth saying aloha, as we heard yesterday in that full meaning of that word. I want to personally thank, before I start, the planners, the United Home Office, really bringing Hawaii back for us. We haven't been here since 2019, but really haven't been to Kauai since I believe it was 2014. So it's definitely a great site. My humble opinion, Kauai is the best island for the Feast of Tabernacles. I also want to thank Mr. Preston and his team to really putting this together. Coming in on a specialty site, it's really not necessarily as easy, but they've done a great job, so I really appreciate that. So as I said, we are in Kauai. And as I said, it's the best island, in my opinion. But ultimately, we thank God. It says in Deuteronomy 16 that he's placed his name here, as it says, and we should just thank him for coming together and observing the feast in this paradise. So as we come together, McDonald and Hand asked this already, but there are many of you, this is your first time to Hawaii, and for many more, this is your first time to Kauai. So when you're on this island, you get this feeling almost that you're really in a separate island nation almost. Take out the Costco, the Walmart, the Target, and we get this feeling. I mean, when you leave the resorts, you get this feeling that you're in a separate country. And it really gives us that wonderful feeling. You probably get that feeling as you drive around. How many of you can actually say the name that your condo is on, the street name? It might be sort of difficult. Getting directions to the community college campus. It's Kaimualii Road. So if you can say that, you're obviously not unfamiliar with the Hawaiian language. I actually have a lot of familiarity with the Hawaiian language because from age 1 to about 6, my mom was in a Polynesian dance crew. So every other weekend, I was sitting in the back in a luau, so to speak, hearing Hawaiian songs go on. So I really love the Hawaiian language. I've really grown to love it. They really have done well with a language with only 13 letters in its alphabet. So it's definitely a wonderful thing, to be in Hawaii. Admittedly, though, from time to time, I get confused for a local. It happens more on this island than anywhere else. I don't know why, but it's nice. But I am a tourist, as are you. It's obvious when people, locals, come and see us. We stand out as tourists, outsiders, mainlanders, as some of us can be referred to if we're from the States. Similar to what Moses described himself, strangers in a strange land. So we stand out as outsiders, as tourists. And as we come together on this island of Kauai, I really wanted to talk about that. We heard about it from Mr. Dick's message about how we have a role. And I want to talk about that role, not only as we go home, but as that role we play and that part we can play even on this island itself. Not just baptized members, future members, children, teens, young adults. All of us have a role we can play, and it really starts on this island. So let's go ahead and start. Let's go and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Actually, we'll start and finish. That's the only verse I'm turning to. 1 Peter chapter 2. And here we have Peter really describing this role we play as really outsiders, as visitors to this island. In my Bible, and probably in yours, it describes this section as living in the world. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. We are living in this world, but we stand out as different. So if you like titles, my title is Stand Out in the Crowd, or Build Your Boat Part 2, Start Your Boat, Building Your Boat in Kauai. So again, verse 11, 1 Peter 2, verse 11, I read here, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, which they, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in that day, visitation." The New Living Translation calls, instead of pilgrims and sojourners, it calls us temporary visitors, which really fits perfectly our role is on at any feast, really, not just on Kauai. We are living in temporary dwellings. We are temporary visitors, specifically to this island. So as temporary visitors, temporary dwellers, Peter talks about how we should avoid something. How should we behave as visitors? And he says we should avoid fleshly lusts. Now, I mean, immediately we go to a specific type, but what he's really referring to is what Paul talks about in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, ideas and attitudes, mindsets that really stem from being led by our human hearts and not by God's Holy Spirit. If we are to have that right attitude, and remove that, I should say, those wrong attitudes, he goes on to point at verse 12, what do we do if we are avoiding these works of the flesh? He goes on in verse 12, he says we should have honorable conduct. Again, to the New Living Translation, it says we should live properly among our neighbors and to give honor to God when he judges the world. So think about this. What Peter is saying is that every interaction that we have the ability, the opportunity to have this long-term, I guess you could say, return on investment. Our actions, our interactions with others who do not believe have potentially long-term. Peter wrote this thousands of years ago. And so we're talking about a payoff that's when Jesus Christ returns. And that's an opportunity each of us have as we go through this feast. Now you might wonder, okay, so we're on the island, right? How are they supposed to know who I am? I have some ideas about that. You'll see the families, so the children specifically at the choir today, the siblings are wearing the same aloha outfit. So I was thinking maybe next time we're in Hawaii, I know Mr. Preston, maybe it's in your budget, I don't know, we could all have the same aloha wear. So we could be identified, obviously. So my wife and I did that. When I first came to Kauai with her, my wife, about 25, 6 years ago, we went to the Hilo Hatties, got the same aloha print for the luau that was being held. And so we matched. And unfortunately, I don't know what it is. I tried to bring that shirt for the feast this year, but it must have shrunk. My wife is convinced that it didn't shrink, that I might have expanded, but I'm sure it has shrunk since then. But what if we all had the same print, so to speak? I mean, it was red and blue, like red palm fronds on it, maybe, instead of a red and blue wristband. We would all head out after services. We could fan out across the island with the same gear. And all of our actions over time, I mean, multiple days, the locals and even the tourists would see all those individuals in the red and blue aloha wear. They must be that group that's attending a church convention or the Feast of Tabernacles at the community community college. So again, all of our actions would really stand out because they would identify us immediately. Obviously, that's not going to happen. We don't have it in the budget to give everyone an aloha shirt or an aloha dress. But every time, every one of us have those opportunities with those interactions with whether it be the locals, whether it be the tourists. If you don't know this, the island has 74,000 people or so in its population. The month of October, there's about 110 tourists. So whether we go out, we can either run into tourists, we can run into locals. We have that opportunity to really be an example every day. I mean, there's over 500 individuals here. We've been here for 8 days. If we had one interaction that left that mark with individuals, that's over 4,000 interactions with individuals that could potentially lead to that glorification to Jesus Christ when he returns. So it could be, we're living in a resort. The interactions we have with the resort workers, the interactions we have with the hotel workers, whether it be the individuals serving us breakfast or dinner, maybe they see us with this band, and they may ask a question. I've talked to a couple restaurant workers about why we are here and having that conversation about it's a religious group coming together at the Kauai Community Center. So we have that opportunity. But really, I think one of the main, I think more impactful interactions that we have and the ability to have really go back to where we are today. Every morning, we come onto the Kauai Community College campus. I think you understand colleges, universities, they tend to have mindsets in most universities and colleges in the United States that are not, that are counter to Christian ideals and beliefs. They are almost hostile to these ideas and beliefs, and certain segments of society and are really really expanded upon or really celebrated on college campuses that are really counter to God's way of life. So honestly, for the 8 days we're here, we are almost like an oasis on this campus, something that is different from what they're seeing, standing out in the crowd, as I said. So the reason I say that is I looked at the college website, and I looked at the clubs that they have here. There is not one Christian club that is, I believe I looked at, there was like 15 clubs, and not one of them was Christian-based. I looked at the weekly newsletter. In that weekly newsletter, there's announcements, as you would expect, related to educational opportunities or job opportunities, other announcements related to plays or musical activities. But there is not one activity related to a Bible study group, a prayer group, a Christian-based organization. You will see, obviously, though, I think you would expect, these other events announced every week align more with alternative lifestyles, lifestyles that really are taking the mindset of this postmodern approach of there is no ultimate truth, that really the right and wrong that's defined by God's word is not something to be adhered to. So there's also actually, every week there's an opportunity to learn what's called an oli. Now an oli is a chant that the Hawaiians, the Hawaiian language, that really relates back to their religious practices going back centuries. So we have those opportunities. It's almost like a Hindu mantra. So in the church, we don't have, there is no related activities for Christian-based organizations here. So as we stand, you know, on this campus, come on this campus, I think most of us know the Church of God has met here from time to time. So there's probably faculty that may have, you know, come into contact with church members during those times. But I would actually like to talk to them and really understand what was their takeaway during those events. But right now, most of the students, they were in elementary school probably the last time the Church of God was here. So we actually have this opportunity every day to stand out in the crowd as not just a bunch of tourists using this facility for a meeting, but really, are we exuding and demonstrating God's the fruit of the Spirit and how we interact and how we interact with the brethren, how we interact with each other and what they're seeing? We have that opportunity to really make that small impression that Peter talks about to the locals, to the other tourists, to reflect God in our lives, reflect that being that ambassador mindset, as we heard earlier, as ambassadors to that kingdom, portraying and demonstrating that every day as we come on this campus, and being an example of something that they have not seen before, really. And that is an opportunity that each of us have, and we should take advantage of. The Apostle Paul echoed what Peter said. I'm not going to turn there, but in 1 Thessalonians 4, he simply said, walk properly before outsiders. And that's what we're doing. We are coming into contact with outsiders. New International Version translates it, walk to gain respect for outsiders, those who do not believe as we do. So as Christians, we are often told to stand out of the crowd. We heard it yesterday from Mr. McDonald. We were told to be a light, city on the hill. We were told to be ambassadors for Christ. We were told earlier in Matthew, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about being a holy nation. We are to be a holy nation. We are to, again, as Jesus Christ said, we are to live in this world but not of this. We live in the world but not be of it. So as we are standing out in the crowd of thousands of tourists, we have that opportunity now to really be that example. So as I mentioned from the start, God has placed his name here. He has called us to this location. Yes, we are to have that millennial experience in paradise. Yes, we are able to come together with God's people, reconnect with brethren, have time with our family. Yes, we are able to hear messages that really point us to our role in that future kingdom. But as Peter points out, we have that opportunity now, every day at this feast, when we come into contact with those on the outside, to really, they may view us as tourists, foreigners, strangers. They may view our ideas, our mindsets as tourists, as strange. When you think about the students on this campus, they see this UCG sign. They see Feast of Tabernacles. And so an inquisitive student obviously would look that up on Google and figure out what is that all about. And so they see that, if they investigate that, they're looking at us as 500 individuals, 500 strangers coming onto this island, and they're connecting that we are representatives of the Church of God. And so if they see that, how are we interacting? So we have that opportunity to really demonstrate God's mindset and God's approach as we interact with the individuals here on this campus, all over the island. So when we have that honorable conduct, when we do those good works, as Peter described, we are leaving an example that really has dividends that point to God's kingdom, and like a kingdom we all look forward to, and a kingdom that we know will, when they see our good conduct, they will honor not us, but Jesus Christ at his return.